Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by Fraser Nelson and Toby Young. So Theresa May's trip to Brussels has paid off in some respects. She has been offered an Article 50 extension in two forms. Fraser, what is the latest news?
Well, she wanted an extension until the end of June, and she was refused that. And I think things got worse for her, actually, as yesterday played out. To start with, Donald Tusk replied saying he would agree to a short extension, but only if MPs passed her deal. And if it didn't pass her deal, well, then he implied there might be a longer extension and we might be fighting the European Parliament elections. That scenario was quite helpful to Theresa May because it focused the minds of her party on her deal. Either the rebels would back her deal, or it would be longer term, far more uncertainty, and Parliament might be able to change Brexit. So things seemed quite straightforward then. But at about 10 o'clock last night, things shifted. And the EU27 decided unanimously to give an unconditional extension for 2 weeks, so to the middle of April. And then if she passes her deal, then we'll take it to the 22nd of May. And they were saying that in no circumstances would Britain be able to fight European Parliament elections, of course, unless Parliament were to vote for something else. Now, that made it a lot more difficult for Theresa May because it brought back the prospect of no deal. All of a sudden, the hardliners who'd been thinking, oh, isn't this great? We've now got this new deadline where even the EU is saying that we have to leave, well, come what may, hard Brexit is more likely. Now, that means they're less likely to back her deal, and Parliament has been given a lot more time to find out if it can insert its own agenda. That might come in the form of a customs union or even a general election and a second referendum.
Yes, I spoke to an ERG member this morning who said that they now believe there is a chance that Theresa May's deal is voted down this week coming by a greater margin
than a meaningful vote too,
because they think that no deal is possible now. And you have soft Brexiteers or Remainers who think if they vote it down, that Parliament will be able to take control.
And Katie, when you talk to the more thoughtful ERG members, why do they think there's a chance of no deal? I mean, I've always thought that the parliamentary mood is such that so terrified are MPs of the prospect of no deal, but they would vote for anything rather than let that happen. They would even revoke Article 50 and cancel Brexit than let no deal happen. But obviously those still holding out for no deal do not see this happening. So what's their scenario? What do they think it's all about?
Well, they point to the fact that the legal default is still that we leave the EU. Yeah. And maybe that date will now change from the end of March, next Friday, to the beginning of April, as per the latest Article 50 extension. But that is still the UK leaving with or without a deal. And they just argue that actually, what have we learned over the past 2 and a bit years from the Commons? That MPs don't like voting for something. They like saying what they don't like. They like trying to stop things. And they believe that actually, when push comes to shove, no one is going to vote for another option. And that's how you get to no deal. Toby, given the negative mood in the Conservative Party, which seems to be getting worse by the hour, do you think Theresa May is still going to be in her post by the end of next week?
Well, it would be a bold political commentator who would confidently predict that Theresa May is finally finished. I mean, she is the Freddy Krueger of British politics. Every time you think that she's absolutely finished, she comes roaring back to life. But I think she might have difficulty surviving a no-confidence vote tabled by Jeremy Corbyn, so a no-confidence vote in the government. I think it's reaching the point whereby a lot of Conservative MPs might sit on their hands in the event of that vote, which might bring down the government. I think there is one potential way through this, and I wanted to run this up the flagpole with the two of you. But how about this? Michael Gove, alongside Nigel Dodds and Jacob Rees-Mogg, and possibly Graham Brady as well, they put on their grey suits, they go along to Downing Street, ideally today, but perhaps not if today, over the weekend, and they say to Theresa May, look, you're not going to get the withdrawal agreement through next week, even if Burko allows you to have a go. Your speech on Wednesday alienated so many people within the Parliamentary Conservative Party, as well as within the Labour Party. There's just no way you're going to get it through. The prospect of no deal, as you say, seems marginally more hopeful than it has done before. So there's no chance you are going to get your deal through. The only hope of the withdrawal agreement passing is if you agree to resign in the event beforehand. So what you say, Prime Minister, is you announce on Monday that you're going to stand down as Prime Minister. You're resigning, but you will remain in post until June, at which point there'll be a leadership election. And in the interim, you're going to appoint Michael Gove, the Deputy Prime Minister, and task him with piloting the withdrawal agreement through Parliament and the subsequent legislation necessary to withdraw from the European Union in an orderly manner.
Well, so Toby, she stays as Prime Minister in your scenario, but she's got these 1, 2, 3, 4 people who will be her sort of political chaperones.
Yes, she remains as PM, but she announces her resignation date and she passes the mantle to Michael Gove, makes him Deputy PM and says, you pilot this through Parliament. And Nigel Dodson, Jacob Rees-Mogg, standing on either side of Michael, say, yeah, if you did this, Prime Minister, the DUP would support the withdrawal agreement and enough members of the ERG would get behind it. And Graham Brady says,
why in your scenario, Toby, would Nigel Dodds go along with this?
Well, that's my question for you. Do you think he would? I think he'd be more likely to go along with it than he would be to support the withdrawal agreement if Theresa May is stubbornly going to remain in office and doesn't offer to stand down. In this scenario, Michael Gove is effectively being anointed by Theresa May as her designated successor. And I think if he was able to get the withdrawal agreement through Parliament, and he's better placed to do that than almost anyone else, he'd then be in pole position to win the forthcoming leadership election. And I think the DUP would trust him to honour any agreement between the Conservatives and the DUP more than they would, say, Boris Johnson or Dominic Raab, neither of whom support the withdrawal agreement.
There's also a chance that Theresa May will face this pressure to go, even if she doesn't, you know, if she doesn't pass her deal next week, there could be that pressure for her to step aside, because we are seeing the Tory party in terms of relations hitting a new low. But Toby, when we're talking about caretaker prime ministers, I mean, we sometimes have these evergreen stories. I think we hear every couple of months that David Davis would be a great caretaker prime minister. David Lidington's also been talked up as one, as a de facto deputy to the Prime Minister. You mentioned Michael Gove, but each time we get to the same problem, which is if the matter of Brexit is something which is still undecided, it's very hard for a Conservative MP, no matter how senior or trusted they are, to just step in and take the reins, because each will have their own Brexit angle.
You mean if it was Michael Gove, Katie, then people might think Toby's a fan of Michael Gove, but you get a huge number of Tories thinking, my God, this is a Gove leadership pitch. There's no way I'm going to go along with this, Brexit aside.
Exactly. And also the problem with a caretaker prime minister is no one really believes they'll just do 9 months and then say, okay, let's have a contest now. Instead, they think they would potentially move them on into the next general election. And speaking to figures in government, they say part of the reason Theresa May does need to really set out this exit timetable is if the Tories are able to succeed in holding up a general election till 2022, which seems quite ambitious right now, they need to have time for that new leader to build a relationship with the public, to have some achievements they can talk about. So Toby, do you really think that we could have a caretaker prime minister? Wouldn't we have to go to a Tory leadership contest, because the members and actually most MPs wouldn't be happy for one person to just walk in?
Well, I think the way to get around reservations people might have is for Theresa May to say, I am resigning and I will go at the beginning of June, at which point there will be a leadership election. So we're only talking about a caretaker being in place for 3 months, and the timetable will be made absolutely explicit when the announcement was made. And it would just be for that brief period, long enough to get the withdrawal agreement and the necessary legislation through Parliament for us to leave the EU with a deal in an orderly fashion. Now, you say that lots of people have been nominated for this role, a new person virtually every week. But what would make, I think, the Gover more suitable than David Davis or David Lidington or a number of others is that he has always been a fairly enthusiastic supporter of the withdrawal agreement, and none of them have, not really. And he could, I think, persuasively make the case.
And just to end this podcast, for those listening, perhaps even some Conservative MPs, How does one remove a prime minister who is technically safe from challenge to the end of December, given that the party have already voted to keep her in place in a confidence vote?
I think I've got an answer to that, Katie, which is I think that this delegation, this grey-suited delegation, would have to say to Theresa May, look, unless you agree to this proposal, the next time Jeremy Corbyn tables a motion of no confidence in the government, we can guarantee that enough Tory MPs are going to sit on their hands for the government to collapse, and that would be an ignominious end to your premiership, an even more ignominious one to what we're proposing, which at least gives you the opportunity to go with some dignity when the withdrawal agreement has got through Parliament.
Thank you, Toby. Thank you, Fraser. And we have an offer right now, in case you haven't heard of it somehow. You can subscribe, 12 issues for £12, and you also get a £20 Waitrose/John Lewis voucher. Just go to www.spectator.co.uk/voucher.